Well, good morning, everyone. I am so thankful to be here today. Not to say that the last 9 days has been pretty rough for me, but leave it up to me at the last minute on a Saturday morning at 4 a.m. come up with an injury to where I've got to be put in the hospital and have an operation. When I have all the pastors getting ready to load a boat to go on a cruise, I call April and I said, I need you. And she did a wonderful job for us last week. Wonderful job. Pulled it out of the muck for us. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who celebrates in recovery 17 years this September. Yeah. To my addiction to alcohol and drugs, but I still struggle with self-worth, anxiety, depression. My name's Mike. So this morning we're going to be talking about something that's just really near and dear to my heart. It actually saved my life more than once, and that's a crossroad. And if I was to ask each and every one of you when you came this morning what you thought about a crossroad, you would say, Mike, well, that's where two points in the street meet. You have to make a decision on which way you want to go. Cross over, go left, go right. But when we're dealing with crossroads in our life, that's a little something different. Okay, that's making a major decision that can affect our lives down the road. Now, we saw in the video, I found this movie about a month ago. It's called The Perfect Race, and there's another movie before that, and it's on Amazon. And I was watching it, and that clip came up, and I said, you know what? That's perfect for what I'm going to talk about today. It wasn't so much about running in the rain, but it was what happens when God asks you to follow him, but times are tough and you don't want to do it? Why can't you trust God enough? Why do you just have to stay where you're comfortable? What are you afraid of? Well, I know all the years that God put, so let me just give one disclaimer here. I did not have a relationship with Jesus until I was 41 years old. 41 was the first time that Jesus came into my life. I'm 56, so it's only been a few years. But God had been putting crossroads in my life the entire time. And for me, the easy thing to do was, I'm never going to go down that road. I'm just going to sit here and drink. And that's what I did. I stayed in my comfort zone. Whether I was afraid or whatever, it doesn't matter. I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. It didn't matter. But what I come to find out is my God's a God of another chance, not a second chance. And he kept following me and following me and following me. Do you know that sometimes God will continue to put a crossroad in your life until you finally figure it out to trust him? And there can also be an instance when you just don't do it and he just gets a little angry and he says, enough is enough. I'm going to force you to trust me. See, that's what God did with me because God was never in my life. God forced me to trust him. I'm going to tell you about a couple of crossroads in my life. And let me just say right out from the beginning, please, Pastor Steve is a newlywed this week. Do not send him any emails for letting me get up here because you're going to hear some things here in the next few minutes that might be a little shocking to you. Might make you want to turn your head. Might want you to say, why'd Steve even let try? He knows my story, okay? Everything's good. I need you to know my story. I started drinking and drugging when I was 13 years old. Had a rough life growing up. It's all good. And after I got older and older and went through my first marriage, my drinking and drugging, instead of being a functional alcoholic and a drug addict, turned into being a life of crime. I lied, I cheated, and I stole my way through the next 15 years. I did a lot of bad things to a lot of people. I hurt a lot of people emotionally and physically. It's just the way my life was. And then one day God said, enough is enough. And I think he orchestrated this just the way he wanted to. But on September 6, 2006, I don't know, around 7:30 in the morning, I committed the ultimate crime, the one that was really going to get me in trouble. I robbed a convenience store, and I threatened to kill the clerk. They charged me with strong-arm robbery, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I got away, and I was out living free and didn't care about anybody, anything, nothing. Didn't care about anything. Didn't even care about me. I didn't even love me. If I got caught, great. If I didn't get caught, great. I knew I was going to drink alcohol and use drugs, though. That was a fact. 2 days later, I had the major crossroad in my life, September 8th, 2006. I was surrounded by Virginia Beach cops and detectives, and they kind of knew from past that I don't ever go easy when it came to the police. So they were prepared and ready. They had their guns drawn. They were telling me to lay down. And, you know, I was drunk and high at the time, but this was the time for me to be able to do it the way I want to do it. I've been doing it the way I wanted to do it my whole life. Why quit now? Stay comfortable. Take the easy way out. Just charge them. That's all I had to do. Just charge them. And as those thoughts were going through my head, my body laid down. And I surrendered. Now, I can't say today that I sat there and thought about what the future's going to hold and what God's got planned for me and all that great stuff, because God was not an option in my life. But I laid down, and then I had to end up going down that road that God forced me down. And in the process of that, I went through the court system, and I was sentenced to 25 years in prison. Not so much for the robbery, but for the strong arm part of the robbery. And by the grace of God, and I know that now, they suspended 20 of those, and I only served 5. So I went to prison for 5 years. Got out in 2011. September 8, 2006, 11:30 in the morning was the last time I ever took a drink. The last time I ever used a drug. I get to prison. Yeah. Tell you. It was not easy. In prison, there's drugs and alcohol in prison. That is a fact. It wasn't easy. But I stayed clean. I stayed out of the way. I laid in my rack. I didn't bother nobody. And I was just waiting for that 5 years to go by. And then one day I was thinking, and I'm like, 5 years is going to be gone soon, and I'm going to be out. What's going to be next for me? Well, I'm probably going to go back to the same job I always worked, cooking in the restaurants, hanging out in the bars, drinking and drugging. And I'm going to end up getting in trouble again. And those 20 years are going to be... That 20 years was hanging over my head. They're going to give me that back, and I'm going to have to serve it all. Then one day, I was getting ready to turn 41, and I had an aunt come visit me, and a godly woman. She said, "Mike, you ever thought about going to church? You ever thought about putting God in your life?" And I said, "What? God in church? No way. Not me." She said, "Well, I just want to put this out there. The second Sunday of every month, a gentleman's going to come preach at your week." They had preachers come in from the outside. A guy's going to come in. He's going to preach. He does it the second Sunday of every month. He goes to church with me. He's an ex-renegade, bad guy, did bad things, changed his life. Just go meet him. Just go meet him. If you don't like nothing else and you never go back, I don't care. But if you could just go meet him for me, that would be great. So that second Sunday came around, and I'm sitting there laying in my rack, and I'm watching my little TV, and got my little bowl with my little oodles and noodles in it, and got my little soda, and got my little honey buns and my chips, and I'm watching football, and I'm having a good old time. I'm staying out of the way, and I hear this thing over the loudspeaker: "Everybody going to church service, you got 10 minutes. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. What do I do now? Two types of people in prison. People that go to church, people don't go to church. It would be very difficult for me to get out of my rack after being in prison for 2.5 years and decide that I want to walk to church. But I did. I got up and I went to church. And I never missed another Sunday for those next 2.5 years. So I met that man, and he hands me this gem right here. This old taped up, broken down, beat up, in 3 pieces, Bible. The very first Bible I've ever owned. And he gave it to me because somebody gave it to him. This Bible's probably been around the road a few times. It's probably been in many jails and many institutions, but it keeps getting paid forward, and it keeps doing its job. But I don't want to pay it forward. My first Bible, I want to keep it, so I'm having a hard time coming off of it. We'll make that decision later. So anyway, who would have ever thought a person like me, if you would have asked me 17 years ago, Mike, you're going to be standing on the stage at a central church giving the word of God to people that need to hear it. I say, you got to be out of your mind. But here I stand, 17 years later, giving that word to y'all this morning. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Something just happened. I don't know what it is. I don't see nothing. There was one more crossroads. Hey, I had to skip a lot in the first service. One, because I was scared to run over. I didn't want to be that guy. And two, my iPad stopped working, so I didn't have any information. So almost everything that I did from memory. I skipped a lot. But there was one more crossroads in our life. I told you there are a few crossroads that saved my life. That saved my life. That crossroad that God forced me saved my life. But the next crossroad that God put in front of us was 2 years ago when I was in the hospital fighting for my life. And my wife had to trust God. And that was so hard to do for her initially at that moment. It would have been so easy just to say, he's not going to live. Just unplug him, and we can move on. But God told her one day, if you trust me, and if you follow me, he will live. She did. And once again, here I stand before you today because of a crossroad. So that's why crossroads are so important to me. Now, you might be sitting here this morning dealing with a crossroad in your life, and you might be saying to yourself, well, now maybe I need to think a little bit more about, you know, what decision I need to make, you know? The theme this morning is going to be, do I trust God enough? Wow, that's hard to hear, isn't it? Do I trust him enough? Yeah, God, I know you're telling me I need to do this, but that's just way out of my realm. I don't think we can do it this time. You don't trust him? You come to church every Sunday? You say you love the Lord? You can't trust him? Sometimes we get hung up on that. You know, a couple of crossroads that could probably be in your life that you need to think about. Personally, be something that has to do with work, something that has to do with family, something that has to do with finance. Here's a great example of one with work. It's happened at this church multiple times. You'll see a pastor get up here and thank everybody for, you know, all the hard work they've done while they've been pastoring here, but God's called them to do something greater. Now, whether that's plant another church, go work for another church, whatever it is, take a higher position, God's asked them to do it. They'll tell you, God's called me to do it. And I'm going to trust him enough to make that move. I have no idea what it's going to look like in 6 months, how it's going to turn out, where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing. I do know this. I need to trust him. If he's asking me to do this, I need to trust him. Some of your spiritual ones that can come to you is your sin, your salvation, and forgiveness. Sin's a big one. You know, Pastor Steve always says, if you don't admit to your sins, if you don't confess your sins, eventually your sins will find you out. Probably not the way you want it to come out. That's what happened to me. I had been sinning all this time, and God finally said, enough's enough. Enough is enough. I'm tired now. Now I need you to work for me. And my sins came out. Here's a big one, forgiveness. I love forgiveness. At Celebrate Recovery, one of our greatest lessons that we teach is forgiveness. And it's the last step that we have to take, really, to get to the healing process that we need to get to. If you've got to forgive somebody, isn't it easier just to, I'm not going to forgive you, I'm just going to just keep going like I'm going because everything's fine. Is everything fine? What happens if you do forgive them? What happens if God says, I need you to forgive them? I don't know what they've done. We're not going to sit here and talk about scenarios of what they possibly could have done. They just need to be forgiven. A year down the road, you don't know what that's going to look like. Do you got to go to Christmas parties with them now? Do you got to give them a gift? You know, whatever it is. Do you got to do any of that stuff? I don't know. But God forgave you. Can you forgive that person? When you're at that crossroad, can you forgive them? Can you move forward? You know, there's a lot of crossroads in the Bible. And one that we're going to concentrate today is Numbers chapters 13 and 14. But before I read that, I want to read a section from Joshua 24, verse 1 through 15. The first 13 verses basically is God saying, I've given you all this. I want to give you more, but you can't trust me enough for me to give it to you. I'm giving it to you, and I'm telling you I'm never going to leave you. I want to give it to you. And this is what Joshua says right here in verse 14 and 15. It says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all your faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether it's the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates River or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And all that's saying is Joshua was going to do whatever God asked him to do. Now, these other people were, these other tribes, they're all slaves. They've been asking God for 400 years, take me out of slavery. Please take me out of slavery. Then God gives them some land and says, all you got to do is go over there. You can have it, and you'll be free. You won't be slaves anymore. But they worship different gods over there, you know, on that side. They worship, you see, heard it right there. It says, if you don't want to worship Jesus, if you don't worship our God, just go back and worship who you've been worshiping. Just be slaves. So we go back up to Numbers chapters 13 and 14. And I encourage you to go read that because it's very, very knowledgeable stuff. God asked Moses to lead the people to the promised land. There's two crossroads here. Moses is at a crossroads. Do I do it? Do I do not do it? I've got everything that I want here. I've got riches. I've got food, honey, milk, everything I need. Why do I need to do this journey? And then he goes to the people and says, God wants me to lead you over the river and into the promised land of Canaan. And they're like, why do we need to do that? We've got everything. Well, you said you don't want to be slaves anymore, so if you go over there, you'll be free. Yeah, but I don't know. We got everything we want right here. Okay, do you not want to be a slave? Do you want to be a slave? What do you want to do? So they march out. They get it rolling. And then they come to a point where they want to look for a new leader because they want to go back. They're not real happy with this move. They don't think it's right for them. They'd rather just go back and be slaves and worship their gods. They don't want to go over there. So God said, okay, I'll try to make it even easier for you. He tells Moses, there's 12 tribes. He tells Moses, take one leader from every tribe, 12 spies, send them over there, let them take lay of the land, look how it all looks, figure it all out, come back, give a report. And then we pick that up in Numbers verses 26. This is what they said when they came back. Numbers 13, 26 through 33. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community of Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them, to the whole assembly of, and showed them the, excuse me, and for the whole assembly in which they showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land which you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit that we picked. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. So basically what they're saying is, they don't want to go over there because they can't fight the people. God didn't tell them they had to go over there and fight the people to take the land. I guess that was the thing back then. You had to do that. But God said, I'll be with you the entire time. I won't leave you. Yeah, but all the... So look at me, 6'5". There's some word out there that Goliath is a descendant of Anak. All right, so just think of Goliath. Everybody over there was his size. Everybody. And the walls were tall. And these people didn't think they could fight them. So the 10 of the 12 leaders came back and said, yeah, we can't go over there. We can't beat them. It wasn't even a point about trusting God anymore. They were afraid of what the unknown was. They needed to go back where they were at. But Caleb and Joshua were the only two that came back and said, we trust you, Lord. And I know we can defeat them. Now, they tried to stone Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to get rid of them. But just got to the point where he was just really, really angry. So he ended up wiping them all out, killed them all, except for their children and grandchildren. So anybody under the age of 20 were spared. Everybody else wasn't. Then God went to Joshua and said, because you are Moses' helper. Moses was your mentor. He's no longer living. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. I need you now to take those people to the promised land. We pick that story up in Joshua verses 7 through 9. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the left or the right, then you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful, and have I not commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you forever, wherever you go. God's telling them, I'm not going to leave you. Just trust me. So Caleb finally goes and says, you know, this is something we got to do. Real quick, verses 10 and 11. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go and take possession of the land the Lord has given you to own. So they're going to go over there and take the land now. why is Joshua 24, that verse 13, 14, 15, so, excuse me, 1 through 15 so important? Because the first 13 verses of Joshua 24, God basically telling them everything that he's given them, all the way back to Abraham. All the children that he's gave them, all the grandchildren, all the wives, all the land, all the fruit, honey, everything that he's ever given them, he tells them in those 13 verses. And then I read 14 and 15 where, if you don't trust the Lord, go your own way. But if you trust the Lord, follow me, and we'll trust the Lord together, and we'll make that trip. I don't know what you got going on in your life today. Some of it can be pretty tough to make a decision. Some of it's pretty easy. But what I need to know from y'all today is, when you make that decision, are you trusting the Lord when that decision is made? Sometimes I know I sit there and I say, yeah, Lord, I hear you telling me where you want me to do, but I'm just not ready for it yet. We do that so often. Why can't we just trust them? Why can't we just trust them? Principle 3 of Celebrate Recovery talks about giving your life and your will over to the care of God. If I'm going to give my whole life to you, I need to trust you. You know, if I'm going to come to church every Sunday and worship you, I probably need to trust you. Not take the easy way out. I hope this morning that you think about some of the decisions you made. Maybe some decisions that you got coming up in the future. Hey, listen, it's never a mistake, but if sometimes you just stay where you're at, I said earlier, God of another chance, not a second chance, he'll give you a chance to redeem yourself. So don't think the first time is a make or break, because it's not. We're gonna make decisions. We're going to make wrong decisions. We're going to do things that we're not supposed to do. I know I had to trust him for 17 years to be here all along the path. When God came to me one day and said, Mike, you need to start a CR at a Central Church, I had to trust him that that's what he wanted me to do. September 6th, we celebrate 5 years. Yes. I had to trust him. You got to trust. So are you going to trust the Lord today with whatever decision you make? Will you join me as we close in prayer? Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight. We love you. We're so grateful that you can give us chance after chance, give us crossroad after crossroad for us to be able to make what decision we need to make. We know sometimes we don't always make the right decision, but you give us another chance. And then we might get to a point where you're just fed up and you need to make that decision for us, and that's okay too. Sometimes we need to be nudged, pushed, forced. But it doesn't mean we don't love you any different, and it doesn't mean that you will never forgive us each and every time. We thank you for allowing us to be in your house today and worship you, because your son Jesus gave his life for us to be able to do this. We ask this in your son's precious name. Amen.